you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
And I'm Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports.
That's right. Welcome back, Greg.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
It's you're here for minute 66, as mm-hmm. Alex just said. Execute minute 66 with Greg Wyshynski. Mm-hmm.
The massacring of this movie.
Right. Well, I was going to say execute is appropriate because you'll see there's a trend that continues in this week, provided you can come back all week. We'll see. But this minute 66 starts with Anakin saying he's going to turn Sheev over to the Jedi Council. And it ends with Grievous's weird cycle thing rounding the corner. So this is it starts out with the kind of the end of the stuff we've been talking about with this confrontation, mm-hmm. Which seems a little weird that, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, and again, we talked about it a little bit, but it's like, does it seem to you like Anakin was dumbfounded and was suddenly just like, wait a minute? Or like, do you think all along he knew and now he's just kind of confronting himself as much as
no, he else? Was he was dumbfounded.
I'm gonna go dumbfounded.
He's kind of an vapid himbo is a term that I'd like to bring back into the vernacular. I think my biggest issue with anything involving Anakin and Palpatine in this flick, and it's mentioned here, is the whatever motivated George Lucas to try to add this layer of sympathy to Anakin Skywalker, where mm-hmm. it's not simply a chosen one born of midichlorians, promising Jedi falls because of his own hubris or because of greed or because he wants to rule the galaxy, or he doesn't simply just fall because of an unending thirst for revenge against those who wronged him or wronged his mother, which was one of the few things nicely set up in an Attack of the Clones. We have to bring in this nonsense about having dreams about his wife dying and how the Sith was going to be the way to save his wife's life. Mm-hmm. And while noble, completely unnecessary to do this. Mm-hmm. The only redeeming quality of it is a moment that occurs later, spoiler, where it's very clear that Palpatine was just kind of making it up as he goes along. Like that, mm-hmm. that's a really cool payoff for it. But everything else attached to it, be it the actual fate of Padme, be it that extra, our hero, our presumed hero was duped by his love of his wife. It's just dumb. Like there's nothing really appealing about Anakin Skywalker in these two movies where you're going to root for him. Maybe you liked him for a second when he was a kid, mm-hmm. but now you certainly don't like him. So the idea that now all of a sudden you're going to try to make him this like fallen hero is just nonsensical.
Yeah.
It's a bad misstep.
It's a,
I agree.
Yes. It's kind of a confusing melange of reasons, things going on
yeah.
with Anakin that also, like, because we were, as we've talked about recently, there's also kind of hints that got cut that really kind of beefed up the jealous kind of the love triangle in his mind that
right.
he thought he was jealous of Obi-Wan and Padme, which is like that, you know, is more, again, it could just be because it's more traditional that we're expecting that, but it seems like that makes more sense
totally
to leave that stuff in and make it like, oh yeah,
in the Fall of Anakin Skywalker power rankings, number one would be
right
his ego.
Sure.
And being kept down by the Jedi, and they weren't even going to train him.
Right. And these, like, guys, I'm the chosen one.
Yeah, I'm
Come
the
on.
Chosen one. Yeah. Like, this guy's giving me the respect that I right. never got from Mace Windu. Number two would
his
be...
His lust for power.
His lust mm-hmm. for power. But you and I, maybe we shouldn't have governments. Maybe we should just rule the galaxy. Number two would be his, in theory, his lust for revenge, because mm-hmm. it's anger that differentiates the Sith from the Jedi, and mm-hmm. like, that's already been established in the previous film. Number three would be the Obi-Wan love triangle thing, because that'd be fascinating. Like, there's that great moment where Obi-Wan, spoiler, steps off the ship, and he's like, you! And that's what sparks the big fight. So, like, that's a good number three. Number 15 is save your wife because you had a dream that she died, and this guy says that he has the power to resurrect the dead or something. Nonsense. So, like, you have
dead on Jupiter.
You didn't need a you have hubris, anger, jealousy. You've got some major deadly sins going on here. You didn't have to, and also the potential resurrection of the dead.
Right.
I agree. I guess George Lucas would say that's not the story. Clearly he wants the story to be Anakin's, like, fear of people he loves dying, is the whole thing with his mom dying mm-hmm. in the second one, you know, and that being such a big moment, and that is what he's going for. But I just think I can appreciate what he was going for, but it doesn't feel like a strong, I don't know, it seems kind of muddy as a motivation. And, like, considering how many great myths, you know, with this whole Joseph Campbell stuff that he's into, like, you know, from, like, King Arthur and Lancelot and Guinevere, right. and, like, it's a classic thing, this kind of love triangle setup that it seems like he could have tapped into 10,000 different myths about that, but...
So rather than seeing Luke potentially condemned to this torturous life at the end of Jedi... When mm-hmm. Palpatine is attacking him
mm-hmm.
And trying to turn him and putting him through the unspeakable pain that we assume that Vader has gone through since he was encased in this iron lung. The potential reading of that scene from George Lucas's perspective is that he's trying to save, once again, someone that he loves.
Yeah, it seems to count. It seems to, like, the wrong message. If the whole point was he got into this mess because of... He was trying to save someone he loved.
And he's trying to do it again.
Yeah.
Well, but now it's time to get it right.
Right. So then he's like, hey. Like, shouting, like, you were right. I used the dark side to save somebody I loved.
Best 4 out of 6. You know, it's just like, you're right. I mean, like, even if we assume that to be the reading of that scene, you're right. It completely doesn't match up with anything that's being done in these
prequels. The lesson, that is, yeah.
The lesson, right. The lesson wasn't learned. The lesson, if you learn the lesson, he's just like, go ahead, light him up with that lightning. I'm out on this one.
I don't care. I don't care. Go ahead. I don't care. What?
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
If you like a good murder mystery story, You'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS, or play online via Facebook games.
Yeah, it's a weird, like, that for half a second or several weeks, depending on your listening schedule, I've been thinking that it's, you know, it's an interesting, like, is it my fault? Am I just expecting, you know, like, the love triangle to be a more satisfying thing because I'm used to, you know, because it's referring to what I'm used to? But they've been doing the rely on, you know, stuff that we're used to, rely on the myth stuff for five movies. So now to suddenly be like, well, let's change it up a little bit. Let's not do the expected. It was like, no, that's your whole thing. This is the every myth, you know,
the classic
thing. Tropes. So that would that would be the most satisfying way to do this.
Especially if you're going to, I mean, the romance setup here between Anakin and Padme has always been sort of a classical one, you know, like big sweeping, you know, string section when they and all this other stuff. So like you're setting it up for this to be this grand romantic tragedy, and I think any time that that's evoked, you're going to have the notion of jealousy being a part of that at some point, or a threat to their love.
Yeah.
And I think if there was a threat to their love, if their love was tested in any way, maybe it would come off as something more than the complete manufactured nonsense that is in these movies.
I think it's almost like he painted himself into a corner, because I don't get the impression from the Alec Guinness Obi-Wan that there was a love triangle in the past. You know what I mean? There's almost nothing else to do with these characters, because other than, okay, well, you're a boy and you're a boy and you're a girl, they don't really have many defining characteristics.
It's also possible that he disconnected himself from sex after living on a desert planet for so long that he just doesn't even want to talk about.
Oh, Obi-Wan. I thought you meant George Lucas.
Well, no, he definitely. Listen, I know we've talked about this before, I think, on the podcast, but like, I mean, it's clear that once George Lucas stopped thinking about sex, these movies got a lot worse. Hmm. The first one was all about your father wanted you to have this when you're old enough, and here's a giant growing laser sword. And also you're going to deposit your torpedoes in this hole to blow up this thing. And then the second one is all about basically like, you know, there's love between Han and Leia. There's all this other stuff. Well, and then in the third one, there's teddy bears.
Yeah.
You know, right. So stop being about that. So the more it was about sex, the better it was.
Yeah. Mm. The Freudian images of fighting his father. His father cuts his hand off.
Crawl inside this soft, wet place and save yourself from the cold, Luke.
I mean, and then the whole like Han and Leia thing, most of that, they spend most of the movie inside of a hole that then turns into a phallus.
Right. And where did Jedi get bad? Right after we left the Sarlacc.
Mm. Wow.
And Leia was dressed as a slave girl. The entire first 25 minutes of Jedi are still like, I'm going to think more about sex. And then teddy bears for the rest of the movie.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, there you go. The George Lucas sex theory right here on the Star Wars Minute.
Well, I was picturing the Obi-Wan, like, you know, like he was the best star pilot in the galaxy and a good friend. And he had a hot wife. like if you brought that back like later.
Yeah.
Legs that would go on for
how did
days.
My father die? Hold on. She was seriously hot. You
must
midriff
understand.
In the Battle of Geonosis. Once I saw that, I was
he was lost to the dark side, and also he thought I was trying to bang his wife.
What is Anakin trying? What's his goal? He says, I'm going to turn you into the Jedi Council, but he doesn't like physically bring him to the Jedi Council, and he doesn't like have like a Jedi Council signal watch or anything like that. Like, he's just kind of like, I'm gonna turn you into the Jedi Council, as he turns off his lightsaber. And it's an interesting kind of like,
so you think that at that point she was like, oh, he's not gonna turn me in,
right?
Like, he could have just killed me right now or taken me in, but he just kind of like,
it's a good point, because in Star Wars universe, it's been established that there are ways to communicate with people mobily.
Yeah, little ladies shavers.
Yeah, you don't. You know, yeah, or yeah, that little the little chapstick that Luke used to talk to R2 and stuff.
Yeah. Right.
So I mean, if this happened, you know, to me, like I'd be like, all right, I'm gonna turn you in. No, you're not. You don't want to see. Yeah, okay. The minute I get outside that door, I'm like, brip, guys, it's me. Get over here. He's a Sith. But instead, he has to, like, travel. He's just like, he's traveling to have a one-on-one conversation instead.
Right.
Before he even. But I mean, I'm not surprised he didn't try to, like, spark up the lightsaber again and try to turn him in or anything. Like, it's entirely possible that he felt, you know.
Internal conflict, or is that just. Like, well, we need another scene. Like, is that kind of?
It's not internal conflict.
Imperfect movie making, or is that character?
It's imperfect movie making because the next scene is him trying to rally the boys to go get him.
Right.
You know. But so it does. It's bad. It's, to the surprise of everyone, it's bad filmmaking.
I think because George Lucas needed that moment where Anakin comes in and literally sees Mace Windu and Sheev fighting each other, and then he has to make a decision as to whose side he's going to be on. Whereas if he was there from the start, it would have a different dynamic. Like, if he said, hey, Mace Windu, come here, and we got to arrest the Sith Lord, and Mace Windu showed up, it would just have a different feel than him stumbling into a fight or whatever.
Right.
But
right.
I don't know. Like, yeah, how did this scene end? Like, the scene cuts away before Anakin leaves, so is Anakin just like, all right, stay here until I get back? Or is it like, all right, I'll see you later, Anakin. You know, like, oh, we have an opera tickets on Friday. Don't forget. It's.
Say, as long as you're going to the Jedi Council, will you drop off my dry cleaning?
Only by becoming a Sith will you be able to save Padme. Okay, I got a thing I got to do. It's just silly.
Oh, Anakin.
Well, you can wait here if you want, but
we do get some good gravelly Sheev, though, at least. So, you get any minute with Sheev talking about.
Well, he said if there was going to be the way he says it, I'm picturing the kind of tagline for the dark side of the Force being the power to save Padme. That's that's their little slogan, like, dark side, the power to save Padme. Registered trademark.
Ask your doctor if the dark side is right for you. Side effects include loss of limbs and headaches.
Anger, hatred, suffering. So then we cut to Crazy Town. We cut from this
return
kind
to
of quiet
Crazy
scene
Town.
Of dialogue to just like, what the hell's going on? Like, because there's this fantastic
meanwhile.
Meanwhile, in like is this a weird Jedi fever dream, too? Because Anakin's riding a lizard, chasing General Grievous, who's riding, like, a giant wheel, and they're poking him with a stick, and the wheel has legs, and...
this does sound like a dream.
Yeah, it does. It totally sounds like
I were there, but you had legs?
Like, on the scripting, like, the day that George Lucas wrote this part down in his yellow pad, he had, like, a fever, and so he was like, then he's riding a lizard and does a... The wheel has legs, and they're like, okay, George, got it.
You mentioned it's Crazy Town, but one of the things I actually like about the scene is the fact that while this chase is happening on perhaps the only clear road, I guess, in the city, there's all that you see these like laser shots going across the way. Like, it has the feel of an ongoing conflict going on while all this stuff is happening. While in other cases throughout the series of films, it does seem like time does stop to allow for certain things to occur.
Right.
So I appreciated that aspect of it. Like, there's all this stuff going on while we're focused on Grievous and Obi-Wan.
Right. Yeah, the clone army is taking over or fighting the
droid
army.
Or whatever.
Yeah, in the background, yeah. And
I did like that there was an environment where there was stuff going on that was, like, continuing with the plot. The fact that they're all kind of fighting in the background made it feel kind of video gamey to me.
A little bit.
You can't interact with those guys who are fighting in the background. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of, like, part of the...
They're non-player characters.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it would have been cool to see a bit more interaction with them going through the middle of a battle where,
you want, like,
bumping into droids or something like that.
And, like, the two guys with the pane of glass, like, whoa!
Oh, yeah, totally.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
The potential for that. Had this been episode one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so the guy, the clumsy waiter with the stack of cream pies.
Would have been a Gungan waiter doing the
right.
Yeah.
So I do like the sound of General Grievous's little
soul cycle
fart powered soul cycle thing.
It's pretty well established that when it comes to vehicle noises, and it's one of the things the prequels did quite well. I mean, not only the pod racing scene, but also is it Slave One in Clones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when like that the sound of that thing, I mean, on top of the sound of the sonic charges that it has, like the sound design is something that they didn't screw up.
Right.
You know, it's memorable.
Yeah.
Less memorable is the fact that General Grievous tries to use his shock staff or whatever, and Obi-Wan just basically says, "Give me that." And just takes it away from him.
Right.
Which is, again, he's a machine. I mean, he's got organic parts, but he's a machine essentially. Like if you put if I have an electronic vice grip, and I close it on something like the Jaws of Life or something.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a Jedi, you're not ripping it out of my hand.
Yeah, that's, well, as we're going to see also later on, Grievous's technology does not seem as strong as
you would think.
Right. Which makes me, I don't remember if we covered it, but is his kind of robot part, there's the cyborg parts, was that built by the Geonosians? Was that are those battle droid parks basically? Which would explain a lot.
They look a little bit like his faceplate, his face mask or whatever looks almost evocative of a battle droid.
Right.
So that's I've never thought about that. That's
interesting. So maybe it's that same kind of like good enough workmanship that the battle droids.
It's were funny built you mention that. I have one of my notes today. The Grievous factoid is that his cyborg operation was paid for by our old friend San Hill from the banking clan.
Character.
Yeah, totally. Now it's so obvious when you think about it.
Right.
But yeah, so I guess he cheaped out on the strength of his vice grips and his polyurethane framework.
Well, that's true. He did just lose two hands not too long ago. So maybe he's also just a little bit like...
He's gun shy. He doesn't want
to
lose his
gently
hand.
Hold on to this in case I don't, like, got to protect my other... I need that one to steer, so...
Yeah. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I liked the fact that once Obi-Wan's pulled onto the bike speeder dealie, his lizard just stops running.
Yeah,
it's just like, you know, he's the old, you know, normally you'd expect an animal would just like keep running off to someplace, but here it's like, you know, if I do not have a human on my back, I will not go anywhere. I will just stay right here.
Right.
Until the next human comes along.
Yeah, he's like a bicycle. Just throw it on the side of the road.
City lizard.
I was wondering why Obi-Wan doesn't use, like, force powers to stop. Like, couldn't he just, like, telekinete, like, you know, like... lift Grievous out of the wheelie, or lift the wheelie off the ground,
or just knock it over.
Yeah, push it over, or like put something in his way. You know, like the force to block. You know, make a cave collapse, or just
pull something really heavy in the I mean, that makes a lot more sense. But maybe who knows?
Obi-Wan must not be good at telekineting, because I don't remember him using it a huge amount in these movies.
Well, he just did a couple minutes ago.
Right, but not like, I would think that would be a very useful talent in a battle.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Like in Empire Strikes Back, when Vader's like throwing stuff at Vader, at Luke.
Yeah. Right?
Like, why aren't they always doing that?
Or like Dooku does that too.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Well, he's on the bad side now. Maybe
I was going to say, maybe it's more of a dark side thing, but then that's one of the first things that Yoda, maybe that's why. He's like, we were really lax on this moving stuff around stuff back in the old days. So lesson two is lift stuff here. Pick up some rocks and all that.
Like how great would that, like, that's more of a selling point for me than Padme, saving Padme. It's like, you'll be able to lift heavy objects and move them on top of people. Right. Oh, I'm sold.
You could just park in the swamp if you want and just pull your ship right out.
And everyone on Coruscant knows how hard parking is. So that would be a huge. That would be a big selling point.
Have you ever played Breath of the Wild? Are you familiar with Magnesis? It's like that, but Scythier.
Yeah, speaking of Nintendo, of course, this has come up before, I believe, but the Obi-Wan's lizard is very Yoshi-ish. He even sounds a little... He makes these like... And then as soon as he jumps off, he just kind of stops and waits like... Boga is the lizard.
It was Humphrey Boga, I believe, was his proper name. It reminded me of a Dewback, but like a Dewback that was mated with a orchid.
Yeah, more...
Right.
Yeah. Do you have any strong feelings about Grievous in general? Did you remember?
Or General Grievous?
Yeah.
Sorry, I should have said General Grievous as a whole.
Yeah, no, I have two, actually. The first is that I remember when this movie came out, and I was really like, I saw the character design. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so cool. Like, you could get like Gary Oldman or somebody really cool to do the voice of this thing. And then like it wound up being Matthew Wood, and you're just like, huh? And you're like, oh, he walked into the office and like he was like the temp track for the character, and he just came up with this voice. I'm like, yeah, but it's a terrible voice, and also this wheezing that he does is really annoying, and there's nothing threatening about the character. So I hated that. And I also think that much like Darth Maul, he's become a prequels villain that has become more memorable and better by virtue of the animated series. Like Maul obviously has been, you know, really redeemed by the
it's really like a whole different character.
Yeah, I mean it, by Rebels and other shows, and I feel like the Grievous in the Clone Wars series was remarkably more interesting than anything he did in this film. So I feel like in both those cases that was the case with those villains.
Yeah, you really basically only see he's also like Darth Maul in the fact that you think he's going to be a much bigger deal than he is, and he just kind of dies like, oh, that was kind of a anticlimactic.
I mean, but there's no question, but also much like Maul, like, you know, the moment where Maul sparks both sides of the lightsaber is iconic. That shot of Grievous spinning all the lightsabers at the same time and walking towards Obi-Wan is like one of my favorite shots in the prequels. I remember just losing my mind in the theater when that happened. I'm just like, oh, I've never seen this before. This is really cool. So, I mean, it's not the worst character.
Yeah.
There are many more worse, but I feel like it's one where I didn't like the choice of voice, and I think that it's a character that clearly was in true Star Wars tradition got much better through the extended universe stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Expanded or extended? Expanded.
Expanded.
Expanded. Yeah.
Extended universe is you know, I don't know.
That's the new one now. This is now we're in the extended.
Yeah, the extended. Right. It's totally different than it's a new EU.
Yeah. The extended. Now it's the
right.
Yeah, I thought there was he serves the purpose of the movie good enough, well enough. He could have been cooler, but he's just there to be just kind of this side villain thing.
Right. Yeah, which low-level boss to beat
before
you.
Indeed.
So that's fine. And I like, you know, yeah. I'm glad he's around. All right, well, I think that's it for 66. I know I teased it, but Greg, can you come back tomorrow?
Yeah, I survived episode 66.
Right.
So I will be here for order episode 67.
Order 67 is weird, I gotta tell you.
It's the resurrection of the Jedi, and then order 68 is we kill them again. It's like a yo-yo.
Right. Well, hey, you at home, speaking of orders, do you want to order something from Amazon? Why not go first to StarWarsMinute.com/Amazon? That'll get you to the same place, and then for no extra cost to you, we get a little cut off of that. So if you're doing some Amazon shopping, go to StarWarsMinute.com/Amazon, buy some stuff, and then meet us back here tomorrow for a brand new episode
of
Star Wars Minute.